desk in the Bugle office was monstrously large, glazed half an inch thick and pebble-dashed with peanuts. Raspberry jam oozed from a hole on its side. It looked, she thought, like a cartoon asteroid, or one of the pictures that might come up if you did a search for the Black Death. Inga, the Sunday magazine's features editor and Laura's manager, turned around and gave her a smile that was strangely bright for 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. Her eyes were fixed on a point behind Laura's left shoulder, which was odd, Laura thought, because they were friends as well as colleagues, and she never noticed Inga doing that before. Also, Laura was standing in front of a totally blank wall. "They were giving them away at Old Street this morning," Inga said, the words tumbling out on top of each other. "I remember how much you liked donuts when we did that tasting. That was a great day, wasn't it? We ate so much. So funny." Something was wrong. As she took off her coat and dumped it on one of the dozens of empty chairs that littered the newsroom after the past few months' redundancies, Laura noticed Inga watching her closely. The expression on her face reminded her of the way Harrison, her parents' aging collie, looked at her whenever he'd ripped one of his toys apart. She found herself picturing Inga sitting on the carpet, surrounded by fluff, holding a squeaker in her mouth. The phone rang before Laura had even switched on her computer. "Laura, hi, it's Poppy from the People team." The voice on the other end was simultaneously perky and abrasive. And just like that, all the morning's confusing pieces came suddenly and sickeningly together. "We were wondering if you had a second to pop upstairs. I've got Glenn from Aerodynamica here, and he'd love to have a little chat. Only if you're not too busy." "I'm never too busy for you, Poppy," Laura said. She replaced the handset, pocketed her own phone, and picked up the brand new, business-like notepad she'd already decided she'd take with her when this call arrived. She'd known it was coming, but as she stood up, she realized that right until a second ago, she'd still been clinging on to the hope that she might somehow slip through the net and be saved. All the way to the lift, she could feel Inga staring at her, buffeting her back with pity. The man waiting for Laura in the corner office where people got hired and fired was at least 5 years younger than her, with a pink, shiny face. As she opened the door, Glenn leaped up and stuck out his hand for her to shake. He had bristly hair that reminded her of a kiwi fruit. "Laura Morrison," he said, cheerfully crunching her fingers. "Good weekend? Get up to much? Watch the game? Old what's-his-name had a shocker, didn't he?" He let her hand drop. "Right. Well, let's get started, shall we? Take a pew." There was a window behind him. Laura could see her reflection in it, distorted by the tint on the glass and the lighting. It made her shoulder-length hair, which was quite a nice sort of coppery colour on a good day, a worrying shade of magenta, and her greeny-brown eyes were terrified-looking dots. Glenn settled back into his chair, unclipped the binder in front of him and pulled out a stack of printed flashcards. As Laura lowered herself into the chair opposite his, she saw that sections had been italicized in a way that immediately made her think of the service sheet at a funeral. She positioned the notepad squarely in front of her so that it acted like a shield. Glenn cleared his throat self-importantly. "As you may be aware, Bugle Media Group is streamlining its operations," he began. There was a pause while he shuffled a new card on the top of the stack. "It's brought in the consultancy company I work for, Aerodynamica, to conduct a review of the business. One of the areas where potential cost savings have been identified is the weekend magazines." Is this how Glenn would break up with you? Laura wondered. By stealth? She imagined him reaching for her hand across a table in all bar one on a Tuesday night and telling her he knew they'd always be in each other's lives, then ordering a nacho cheese for them to share. She watched his lips move, fighting a rising tide of panic. She'd always lived from month to month on her overdraft. Her savings account had £20 in it. She'd only been at the Bugle Sunday magazine for 3 years, which meant she'd be leaving with very little if they did get rid of her. It could be months before she found another job in journalism, if she managed to find anything at all. "So, on behalf of Bugle Media Group, Aerodynamica will spend the next 16 weeks assessing your role and the value that you add to the organisation," Glenn continued, his face getting pinker as he tried to avoid looking at her.